Blog Talk Radio.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain. You've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't stay, for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain, God in the valley, when things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God. When you're up on the mountain, the talk comes so easy. When life's at its best, now it's down in the valley. Trials and temptation, that's where you'll face. Go wrong, He'll make
God of the mountain, the God of the valley. And you know where that story goes, back into the Old Testament, where they wanted to fight against Israel, and they got beat up in the mountains, and they said, well, we'll fight them in the valleys, because their God is the God of the mountains, and come to find out he's the God of the valleys also. Amen. We want to welcome you to the Sound Doctrine broadcast, coming to you live from Imperial Beach, California. This evening we have a special program. We're going to break out of our basic discipleship course for this evening. We've invited Joseph Gibson on. Joseph Gibson is an expert in the New World Order, and you're really going to get a blessing tonight. You're going to hear some things that probably you've never heard before. I have to make a disclaimer that the radio station itself is not necessarily agree in accordance to the opinions spoken on this program this evening. And that, having said that, we want to thank the guests from around the world, those people who have written to us, chatted with us, emailed us, and have telephoned us. And we're grateful for your participation. We're grateful that you come back week after week. And for those people who went back and archived last week, I hope you found that it was a blessing. And when you archive this week, because I understand it's late on the East Coast. But we want to thank you. And Enterprisement Media would like to thank you. And again, Enterprisement Media is not necessarily in agreement with the content of this program. And so we'll take it from there. Before we get started, I'd like to have a reading of the Word. I have a kind of a, it's not a lengthy psalm, but it's a psalm. The Lord's put it on my heart this evening. Psalm 27, if you have your Bible, and we are a Christian-based radio program. We do preach sound doctrine. We don't believe in all the other nonsense that's going on in the world. We've taken a stand for Christ Jesus. We thank Enterprisement Media for allowing us to be a guest on this program and to give us this Thursday night to teach and preach sound doctrine, which you really don't hear in other places today. But Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes come upon me to eat up my flesh, they shall stumble and fall. Though a host encampeth against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after him, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in the temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answereth me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee. Thy face, Lord, will I see. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been mine help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path, because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." Amen. Holy Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to come together tonight and to have this special program, Lord. We ask that you'd bless the listeners. We ask that you'd touch our hearts and minds tonight and give us spiritual understanding with wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you and the things that Joe's going to bring forward and we're going to discuss tonight in our listening audience. And we have an open microphone tonight. Anybody who would like to call in, you're welcome to call in. We thank you, Father, for this and these blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. The number at the station is 347-549-3. I'll tell you what, it's been a long day. Hey, Joe?
Yes.
It's 347-945-5416. And if you press extension 1, you can get right in to the host station. Nathan's there. How are you, brother?
I'm doing all right.
I'm very glad to have you
on.
How
are you doing?
I'm doing well. I've had a long, tedious day, And sometimes it's a little tough to get settled in. But, amen, I'm looking forward all week to this program and actually a couple weeks. And so we're glad to have you back on. We're glad to listen to your wisdom. And we're glad that you're keeping up on things. I understand that there's an issue down south there in North Carolina going on. There's one in Texas where they're trying to subpoena some of the sermons that men are preaching, that people feel are contrary to social order, although they're biblical. And I understand there's problems in North Carolina also with some of the legal system and requirements and things that are being required of those in authority. So what's your take, brother?
Well, recently here in North Carolina, they passed the Same-Sex Marriage Act, and where it allows homosexuals and lesbians to marry legally and lawfully and be recognized as a union and, a lawful marriage. And apparently a lot of the magistrates, particularly there is one in my county, Rockingham County, North Carolina, that has resigned from being a magistrate any longer because he was told that he had to perform these ceremonies if requested to. And he refused. He refuses to perform same-sex marriage ceremonies. And that brought a lot of media attention to our local media picked it up. And it was all over the internet and local newspapers. And, this is another sign of what's happening in our world and how the New World Order form and shape. And, I was on the internet this past week viewing the comments under the article about this situation with this magistrate who resigned from being a magistrate any longer. And, a lot of people agree with him resigning. They're in support of this same-sex marriage. And a lot of people actually even believe the Bible does not speak against homosexuality, and the Bible does not forbid it. There's people out there who actually believe this, and there are actually even churches that are taking this stance also. So what's your opinion on that as being a pastor, Peter, and can you give us some biblical verses to start us off here?
Well, in Leviticus, it clearly tells you that it's an abomination for a man to lie with a man. I mean, the whole purpose of marriage, there's three institutions that God has created. And one is, marriage. The other is the church. And finally, you have government. And so all were intended for good. But the institution of marriage is for the purpose of procreation. And two people of the same sex cannot procreate. It defies the intent of God. My take as a pastor is that lawfully a pastor or anybody should be able to lawfully speak with regard to that and to address that issue along with abortion or any other issue by simply saying they disagree or agree or it's against the Word of God. I mean, we're preachers of the Word of God. So biblically, it's against the Bible, and you have a lot of these new Bibles out there that are claiming to be a Bible, and they're written, the Rainbow Bible and all kinds of things that are not, biblical Bibles. They're man-made, and so there's a lot of corruption in the system itself. But as far as speaking out and as far as the pastors in Texas and elsewhere speaking out, it's legal and it's lawful to say that according to the Bible, they disagree with the homosexuality or lesbianism. It's not biblical. However, it would be illegal for them to encourage somebody to injure a homosexual or a lesbian. And so, the line is fine. It's a very thin line. Absolutely not. The Bible does not endorse same-sex marriage. Absolutely not.
Well, this also, Peter, goes back to the show. When was I on your show? About, 2 months ago, a month and a half ago? And we had a back-and-forth conversation concerning the requirements of 501c3 churches. And I was reading to you the guidelines are
to apply for as a 501c3. And this is what's happening. And also you mentioned in the beginning what's going on down in Texas. Now they are beginning to attack the churches because the churches are weak. And the Christians are not standing up for what is right and what we should be standing for as Christians. Instead, we're too worried about our suit and ties, our nice cars, our nice big buildings, and how many people we can get to come to church every Sunday. And this is what the problem is. We need to stand up as Christians and really have an awakening in this country and start really preaching. I mean, we all cannot live by the word. We're all sinners. None of us are perfect. I understand that, and I'm not trying to advocate anything crazy or sensational. However, if Christians were doing what they're supposed to be doing, I don't think this would be happening today in our country.
Well, I agree, brother. I agree. But you also have to know the spirit of the time, and the spirit of the time is rebellion, an open rebellion. And, you know, as the prophecies of the Bible speak, that the end times, you know, man, the love of man waxes cold, and he becomes more and more wicked. And so, you know, it's no longer a biblical norm. It becomes what is a, socially accepted rational norm. And so people such as you and I and other people who stand for what's right and what's correct, we're the hypocrites. We've become the bigots, you see, instead of the bigots being the bigots, because it's not socially accepted. You see, it's not, the Bible's never been socially accepted. Neither has anything that's been preached in the Bible socially accepted among the world. And so I understand what you're saying, you know.
So what do we do, as you being a pastor, what do we do in our day-to-day lives as Christians to combat what is happening around us in our communities, in our country, in our homes? What do we do to stand up to this antichrist system?
I think that our call, number one, is not to stand up in the sense of what some people consider the sense of to stand up. But I think that our call is we can't legislate morals. We can't legislate same-sex marriage. We can't unlegislate it. It has to be a moral principle. And so we can't legislate morals. We know that. And that's something that's something the Lord does. Government was set up for the unsaved, not for the saved, not for the Bible-believing Christian. Government was set up for those who were not believers, so that sin could be restrained, you see. And so the question is there anything anybody can really do to put a stop or an end to that stuff? Well, I think that people should rally around the fellows in Texas, the preachers, and I think that they should make it known publicly that, you know, the actions of the mayor and those people is unacceptable. It's unacceptable in the Christian community, and those people shouldn't be in office. They should be removed from office.
Okay.
Now, you're more familiar on the legal aspect of these things than I am.
Okay. Well, we have to get back to, we have to go back. We have to search for the truth of yesterday. Peter, technically, really, we don't have really a government. We're not under the Constitution anymore. We're under a corporation. We have a contract now. We're under contract, and that's why a lot of people, like, put this out there, whoever's listening. You know, when you get a telephone bill in the mail, or an electric bill, or the bank addresses you in a letter, do you ever notice that your name is spelt in all capital letters? And that's not proper. Were you taught to write like that in school? No. Your first letter of your name was capitalized, and the rest of the letters were in small caps, correct? Right, Peter?
Right. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. That's the way
okay.
I was taught.
Okay, because you are a fictitious person. You see, you're not a sovereign person of the sovereign God. You're not you are a part of this antichrist system, and we have to start from our foundations to really begin a strong root to really know the truth of what's really happening in our country and why things are happening. For us to go into the full scope of everything, that was just touching a little bit on that subject. you know, for us to go into the entire matter, you know, with the birth certificates, why you're given a, issued a birth certificate when you're born, you know, get back the money, the Federal Reserve System. For us to go into all that, we, you know, we'll be here all night and we still wouldn't cover it all. And no, and everyone would be just as confused. But, you know, but we have to understand that we're living a lie. We're, you know, and our churches are participating in this. And this is what makes me so darn angry and upset that this is going on. And you and I have gone back and forth many, many times over this subject. And, I mean, and what's your take on that? I mean, what do we do, again, living day to day? How do we correct the mess we are in as Christians and as human beings living in America today?
Well, I have to be honest with you. I don't think prophetically we can. I think this course is set, and the world is, you know, we're at that point now where we're coming upon the rapture. We're at that point now where we're coming towards the second coming of Christ, and the world isn't going to get better, brother. The world's going to get worse, and the corruption of man is going to get worse, and the diseases of men are going to get worse, and the whole goal is to set up that one world government. We're no longer nationalists. If you read the Humanist Manifesto, you find out that the UN's goal is to stop countries from teaching nationalism in America, to stop them from teaching that you're an American citizen. They want you to be a global citizen. And so they've taken history out of your school along with the Bible. And once they remove the history, they replace it with social studies. And social studies doesn't necessarily teach history. Now, for instance, my grandson came home from school and was talking about that he's studying in school the contributions of Islam to the world. And so, you know, okay, well, the Ottoman Empire, although it was a conquering empire, you know, they had colleges and they had institutions and those type of things. But, you know, I gave him an article out of the newspaper where, you know, they wanted to kill a young lady for being a Christian and she was pregnant. And I gave a Quran to the school teacher and I told her, you know, you need to read this because the Quran clearly says that Islam teaches that a Muslim is not to befriend a Jew or a Christian. And so there's no such thing as a radical Islamist. According to their law, religious freedom, and I'm not trying to get off the subject, religious freedom is pay a tax, convert, or die. I mean, and that goes for all of Islam. And the Quran also teaches that it's okay to pretend you're somebody's friend or ally in order to reach your goal. And so, you know, the world's in for a rude awakening. But as far as our government goes, I think the right people in office would help. But I think we're beyond that. I think that the Bible says that my people will pray for their nation. You know, my wife is a 20-year Navy vet. I'm a Navy vet. We love our country. And, of course, we want our country to be a good moral place for our children and generations to come to grow up in. But our country's not run by the Christians. It's run by the New World Order. And so, you know, that tide is set. We're heading in that direction. And I personally, as a Christian man, don't believe that. The only way we can change our communities is through the gospel message. And from the communities, then goes your state. And so I think our nation's beyond that. They want to get rid of God anywhere and everywhere.
Okay, so okay, they want to get, and we as Christians are going along with it. Do you think God is happy at that? Do you think God is smiling down at us as Christians? You know, we go to church on Sunday, we walk the walk, talk the walk, we dress up all nice, and, you know, we have a good time, we have a good message, and then we all go home, and that's it. You know, so what are we doing as Christians? What are we going to do? Just lay down and say, okay, that's the way it is, it's prophesied, there's nothing we can do about it. You know,
I think that the first fundamental goal of a Christian, the first fundamental goal is to be a fruit winner. Or a soul winner. I think that's the first goal. You know, your first act of obedience after you receive Christ is to be baptized. And then after you're baptized, you know, you're to be discipled. And then you make disciples. And so is it possible, you know, how would you suggest, because I don't have a suggestion, brother, how would you suggest You know, we're sojourners. This isn't our world anyway. Scripture says we're sojourners just passing through here, that we're really not part of this world. This isn't our home. Heaven's our home. And Jesus Christ, the head, we're the body. We're actually there already because we're connected to Christ. Okay, and we're
okay.
just waiting for
well,
that.
Okay, well, the church is doing good. They're going, yeah, you're winning souls. Okay, you're winning souls. You're baptizing. And after that, it seems to stop. You're creating empty Christians. They're coming
well,
to church. They're hearing a message, but they're, you know, we're shallow. We don't have the full armor of God on. We're not really walking the walk and talking the talk. We're not standing out there as soldiers in Christ. And as soon as we see a little bit of authority, we back down. And that's just like the situation here. That we, again, we'll go back to the original subject here. We started talking about, you know, the magistrates here have to perform gay marriages, or they will be suspended, fired, or brought up on criminal charges. Can you believe?
Well, I think that's wrong, and I think that recently a corporation was allowed to not have to give a birth control and was recognized as a person. And I believe that, you know, that taken to the tall end of the court, that's going to be, you know, found to be unconstitutional. I mean, your boss can't even make you work on a Sunday if it's against your religious conviction. Although many bosses want you to believe he can, but he can't. And so should the magistrate have the option to go against his conscience? Listen, they allow Jehovah's Witnesses to be conscientious objectors and not to join the armed forces, didn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, but you have to understand the gay agenda is an agenda that's been in process for years and years and years. It's something it has evolved out of a small movement, and it's a long-term agenda. It's just like the New World Order. It's evolved over time. It's the agenda is the course that God has set, of course. They don't even realize they're fulfilling the course that's already prophesied. You know, Cyrus didn't know anymore when he was born that one day he would release Israel. But you know what? It had already been prophesied 200 years before he was born. And so in the course of these things, can we change the direction in which God has already foreset for us? And is that our job?
Is that our job as
Christians?
Well, we don't have to go there exactly, but why are we as Christians participating in a system like this?
I think we go back to the conversation you and I had quite a while ago. Number one, we're sojourners. We're just passing through. If we were in the country of Rome, we would do what the Roman law requires. If we were in the country of Greece, we'd do what the Greek law requires.
Even if it goes against the Bible?
No, of course not. Of course not. Then you have to take a stand and say, okay, this is against the word of God. Okay, but remember what Jesus said when they got to the door. And, you know, they asked him, about the money. And Jesus said, you know, well, whose superscription is this? And they said, Caesar's. And they said, give to Caesar what's Caesar's. In other words, you know, when they asked him, are you going to, if this was my country now, my world now, he said, my angels would fight. But it's not now. But it will be. And so Jesus Christ had the option to lead a revolution. He could have revolutionized all of Israel and all of the world at the time he was alive, but it wasn't his purpose. It wasn't to revolutionize the world through worldly means. It was to bring in a new method, bring in a way of salvation to save the world from itself, because the world is who's truly running this world itself. Who's the God of this world? Jesus said Satan is the God of this world. And so when you start looking at the world and the world systems and the capitalist and, you know, and look at our money, you know, with the eye on the back and all the, you know, stuff that goes on, you know what I'm saying. And I'm not trying to hedge too much, but if you're, you know, I don't have a simple answer. What I instruct the people in my church to do is to do the things that the law requires them. You know, we were in Stratford, Connecticut, and we were stopped from handing out tracts at the White Oak Baptist Church in Derby, Connecticut. You know, we called Gibbs down in Florida, and Dr. Gibbs and the Christian Law Association issued a letter, you know, and I served it on the police chief, and I served it on the city attorney, and, you know, they backed off because, you know, they didn't want that court battle. But, you know, that was the point. Well, we still went out, brother. We still went out because it was the right thing to do. Okay, so I get what you're saying, but if we took it to the extreme, then we'd all have to bear arms against the government. And that's the problem. That's not what the Lord's called us to do.
Okay, so, well, what do you mean that's not what the Lord told us what to do? What did the Lord tell us to do in our high-handling situations?
The Lord's called, he said, if my people would pray, he would heal their nation. If you want this nation healed, then people need to start praying. People aren't interested in praying. People, the majority of people in this country are you have to understand the history of Christianity in our own country. We're called a Christian country. There's more Christians in the Middle East than there is in the United States of America, brother.
Yeah.
And they know what it is to be a Christian because they live hand to mouth every day, and they rely on the Lord to feed them every day or they'd starve to death. And so those are people with strong faith, and they're Christians, but you see their world system, the governments that they're under, are corrupt, most of them. And so, you know, the answer is that we go about worshiping our Lord Jesus Christ, and we meet, and we pray, and we win souls, because our time is short. And if we want to change our community, then we bring people to Christ.
Okay, okay. And after we bring them to Christ, and, you know, again, I'm not trying to provoke a squabble here over how, you know, what I'm trying to do is bring information here about forth as to what is happening, why it is happening, and how come we as Christians are not doing anything about it. And why?
Well, I agree. I think the time for Christians to make their move was a long time ago as a moral majority. But who ended up being the moral majority? You see? And you have to understand that most people that are calling themselves a church today, brother, are not really churches. They're just in houses of entertainment. They're not preaching the Word of God. They're not teaching the Word of God. You know, my churches I've been in, they teach what the U.S. Constitution was. I mean, most people don't even know that George Washington was really the 8th president of the United States, that under the Confederacy there were 7 others. So,
yeah.
You know, history, you talk to people today and ask them, they showed a special on CNN the other night, a fellow went out asking people on the streets of New York City about Ebola. I believe it was New York City. I could be wrong, but he was asking people, you know, what do you think about the Ebola situation? And they didn't even know what it was, uninformed. And though, you know, too busy spending time, you know, what was the downfall of Rome? Rome's downfall was amusements of every sort, overextension of their military, overtaxation of their people, and sin of every sort. And so they declined. England declined the minute they gave up the King James Version Bible. And they went to the Revised Version. They began to decline. And they've gone straight down ever since. The United States of America has been on its way down since 1901, steadily and quickly. Why? Because they gave up the Word of God. They turned to fake Bibles. And they turned away from the Word of God. And so evil men, you know, there's often said, and it's a very famous quote, that all for evil to prevail, all good men have to do is nothing.
Okay.
So we as Christians, we come
against these types of issues. What do you recommend? Not to keep beating the same horse here over and over, but what do we do to handle what when we come to that type of situation or that decision? What do we do to how do we handle that type of situation? Okay, you know, how do we I mean, what do we do? I mean, how do we address it? You know, homosexuality, lesbians,
Take a stand. I think we as Christians take a stand. Now, listen, I don't care very much for Rick Warren and his teachings and a lot of the humanistic psychology he's brought in there, but I've heard him take a stand on national television and say, listen, homosexuality is wrong.
Well, not everybody.
No, everybody isn't, brother, but they should be. But if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you believe what your Bible says, then your stand is, I have to stand with God. And God says that homosexuality is a sin. It doesn't mean we hate the homosexual. It's God said the act is an abomination. Of course, we love the person, want the person to be saved. But I don't have to like him. I don't have to like his sin. And there's a difference between love and like. My family doesn't have to like the life I led, but they ought to love me. Amen?
Yeah.
And I don't have to like the sins that they're committing. My stand as a Christian man and in my church and elsewhere is that the Bible says that homosexuality is wrong, and it's wrong, and you're not going to persuade me any other way. The purpose of life and the purpose of a man leaving his father and mother and being joined onto his wife is to procreate, and there is no procreation in man on man and woman on woman. And that's why it's against the natural order which God has called forth, and any church that endorses is a corrupt apostate church.
A
Christian in sound doctrine then has to make a choice at that point. If he's a Methodist and he endorses a homosexual pastor, then he needs to get out of that. It doesn't matter. You don't get saved by being a Methodist anyway. You get saved by being a Christian, by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. That's where your salvation comes from, not by being a Catholic or a Baptist or a Protestant. And so what does the Bible say? That's the bottom line. And so it's up to the Christian to take a stand and walk away from his church. But most Christians won't do it because they're afraid to be criticized. Most men that are leading these churches know darn well that the NIV and the RSV and the LEB and the any new Bible, the Jerusalem Bible, all these Bibles are corrupt Bibles, but they wouldn't dare step away from them because they couldn't accept the criticism.
Okay.
And so weak leadership. If the head's sick, the body's sick, brother.
Okay. So we're coming into this point now. We don't know exactly when the rapture is going to occur. Or you and I have gone round and round and round on this issue. You honestly believe that and that we will be raptured out of this world before the Antichrist appears on the scene and the tribulation begins?
Well, what I believe is this. And affirm according to Scripture, and not according to what Peter
believes. According to Scripture,
yeah.
It doesn't matter what we believe. We're talking about Scripture.
But scripturally, I believe that Antichrist could be born right now and could be a child. He could be a teenager. He could be an adult by now. Could he be walking the earth? Probably is. Okay. But I believe that when the rapture occurs, the body of Christ will be left off the earth. 7 years of tribulation will occur. During the first 3.5 years, the Antichrist will show up as a man of peace. And in the middle of the tribulation, he'll go into the temple. He'll set up his idol. He'll do the same thing that Antiochus Epiphanes did in 163 B.C. He'll go in and he'll smear, the swine blood across the altar, desecrate the altar, and he'll claim to be God. And he'll require worship. And then Christians will be hunted down like dogs.
Okay.
Just like you see the American Most Wanted on TV.
There are no more Christians left.
Well, there will be believers, but they'll have to find, just like now, are there any Jews?
Well, what do you mean they'll be believers? Of course there'll be believers, yeah, but there's
going to
be a lot.
Okay, hold on, though. But hold on and listen to what I'm saying, brother.
Okay.
We're back under, right now there's Jews, right? And they claim to be under the law, but they're not. You see, they have to, if they want to get saved, they have to go to Christ. And so during the tribulation, when they're back under the law, there'll be Jews that are under the law doing the sacrifices and things that they're supposed to do in the temple, people out there claiming to be Christians. You see? And what they'll need to do is find a Jew to get saved.
Okay.
So that gives a little better explanation. And remember, 7 years is not a long time. This tribulation period is going to be quick. And so you see that moving, there's many things moving in that direction right now. Matthew 24, when you read Matthew 24 about the second advent, he's talking to Jews, and he talks about the Sabbath day. I mean, that identifies the Jew. I mean, Christians don't celebrate a Sabbath day. We come together on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, because that's when Christ appeared, and that's when the apostles did it, and we follow in the apostles' doctrines. And so...
Well, you know what the argument is, too, Peter, is a lot of people, they have this argument. Where y'all, this is the number one argument I hear amongst people who don't believe, or who believe but don't really want to believe, and believe but don't really live according to a believer. This is the number one argument. How could the Bible be true? Written so many years ago, it's all man-made. How could this be?
Where that comes from? That comes from a lack of education and edification within the scriptures. And the problem is that you have to look at the evidence. Never mind what the Bible says. but just let's look at manuscript evidence. What is the authenticity of the manuscripts? And then you discover that, you know, Pliny Secundus, the Iliad, Homer's Iliad, and nobody knows if there really was the person, but all those manuscripts are within 1,000 years to the original, and some of them aren't even originals. They're copies of original fragments. Closest to the original biblical manuscript is 50 to 150 years. You can't get any more authority than that. There's 5,400 and over that now extant existing manuscripts, which date back to, you know, authenticity, which date back within 150 years. And so the proof of that is in the 40s, when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls and they found the Book of Isaiah. The Book of Isaiah that they found in the Dead Sea in the cave in Qumran, the Dead Sea Scrolls was within 1 to 4% what's in your King James Version Bible. What were the odds of that after 2,000 years? And so, but the authenticity of the manuscripts is what bases it. See, people think that Christians just have blind faith. Our faith is based on evidence. We have evidence. And that evidence is not only in the manuscripts, but the eyewitness accounts. Even Josephus, the Jewish historian, wrote of Jesus Christ in Jesus' time. And that's outside of the Christian circles. And so what happens is people just believe what they hear, and they never research or look into it for themselves.
Yeah. I agree with that.
You know, I was a Roman Catholic my whole life. You know why? Because my father said we had to be. And his mother was, and his father was, and his father's father, and you're going to be one too. And so, and then I read my Bible, and I discovered, hey, wait a minute, somebody's not teaching me what's in the Bible. And so if a man's really truly seeking the truth, God will reveal himself to him. But the problem is that people just take somebody else's word for it, and they go on blindly down the road, the blind leading the blind. That's what Jesus spoke about. And, you know, one falls into a ditch, the other one falls in behind them. One falls into hell, the rest fall in behind them. Well, you know, I don't endorse Jimmy Swaggart, and I know Brother Swaggart done some very bad things in his life, but you know what? God forgave him. He repented of him. But I know that he said he had a dream once, and in that dream, this is the early 70s, late 70s, he had a dream, and he's walking through hell with the Lord in the dream, and there's people walking around grabbing people by the hair and pulling them out of the fire and dropping them in. And he said, Lord, what are they doing? And he says, oh, they're looking for the preachers that led them astray.
Well, you know, okay, that's pretty good how you revealed that. But, okay, I'm with you on that standpoint. But, okay, now the new world order, it's forming, right? We're just passing through, like you state, and really we can't do anything about it because it's prophesized and we can't stop prophecy and we can't change prophecy. But are we really truly saved in God's eyes, or if we are participating in this Antichrist system? And where in the Bible does it say that it's okay to commit such deceitful acts like we are committing today, pretending to be Christians and not living like Christians? For instance,
well, let me answer that in pieces.
Okay.
Before you go to the for instance, I think that we look at the biblical examples. Probably one of the greatest Christians that ever lived was the Apostle Paul. And you look at Paul's life, and although Paul was under, he was a Roman, and he was a Jew. And he had the rights of a Roman. He had all the privileges of a Roman. But when it came time to where he was facing a death sentence, you know what Paul said? Paul said, if I have done anything to break the law worthy of death, then I submit to the law. You see?
Okay.
And so the Christian example is that when you're looking at the apostles and the other great men, is what did they do in their lives? Do we say because Paul paid taxes when he traveled and Paul paid the government its required taxes in his citizenship, do we say that Paul wasn't saved? Of course not.
We know Paul paid taxes. I've read the Bible.
Because Paul instructed us to obey authority. Paul instructed us to pay custom to whom custom, duty to whom duty. And so when you study those words custom out, you find out that Matthew sat at the receipt of customs. Well, what was customs? Customs was the taxation, you see. So, and you know, because you know how to study your Bible, you know you compare Scripture with Scripture. You don't have to go outside of the Bible. You don't need to go back to some old Greek manuscript or some Hebrew to figure out what the Bible says. The Bible interprets itself. And you find that out in the first couple chapters of Revelation when they start talking about the stars and the candles. The Bible tells you exactly what they are. You didn't have to go outside to find out. And so the chaos and disorder from our churches that where we end up now is because of these new translations. Because you have an NIV and I have a KJV, mine says this, yours says that, we better go to the professor and ask him which one's right. Well, brother, who's the authority now? Not God, the professor.
Okay.
And so we have to say, you know, what is our example?
Well, hang on.
God's the justifier, right?
I understand what you're saying, and that's good the way you put it, and you're really, really combating what I'm trying to get at here, and I really am picking at you here, and I'm not trying to do that. What I'm trying to do is bring certain issues and topics to light that we
face
in the day to day, you know, what I'm trying to say, and I just see a lot of things studying this type of issue that, you know, I just feel guilty and wrong participating in these types of acts that we perform every day as Christians, you know, just like the homosexuality thing. You know, I don't have a problem with homosexuals. You could do whatever you want to do in the privacy of your own home. However, when you're promoting this type of activity and out in the open, and I have to see it and watch it and address it every day, I don't believe that that's godly, and I believe that that's a sin, and we as Christians, like you stated earlier, should stand against this type of issue, just like the many other issues of the New World Order and the Antichrist system.
I don't disagree with what you're saying, but I want to say this about things that go on in the world and things that are happening around us, from the feminist movement to homosexuality. And whether openly or not, abortion openly advocated. We live in a country where, listen, I can believe what I want to believe. You could believe what you want to believe, but you can't force me to believe what you want to believe. You see, and so this is where the line has to be drawn. We can't take those Texas pastors and force them to believe that homosexuality is correct if their religious convictions it's not. We can't force them to do that. But, you know, we pick at a certain subject, and the topic for tonight was, you know, we started out with this particular homosexuality topic. But, I mean, we could signify, you know, we can single out many other topics. We could single out abortion, which is, you know, broadly given. You know, have you ever gone to Planned Parenthood's website? If you went to Planned Parenthood website and see what they're showing your children, you'd fall out on the ground. Okay, I don't agree with it. And I certainly wouldn't want my children watching that. I'll educate my children at home. They don't need to know about Johnny's doing something with Sally, you know what I mean? But that's how it's taught, and it's open. But also, you know, it goes beyond that. If you leave your children, now here's just a wild example. If you leave your children sitting in front of the television alone, it's no different than you leaving the front door of your house open and letting the whole city walk through. What's on your TV? Everything in the world. And so, you know, do we throw our televisions out? No, we use them correctly.
Okay, that's fine.
Should people be able to walk in town, men holding hands with men and women with women? Well, you know what? Do I approve of it? No. Well, I'll pray about it and lead them to God. In the meantime, you know, I'll stand for what I believe is correct. And I'll teach and preach what I believe is correct. Again, they have a right to believe what they want to believe. My only concern is this. My concern is that where does that end? If a man can marry a man, what's next? I want to marry my dog? Who's to draw that line? What is sanctioned human life? You know, well, I'm in love with my dog. Who's to draw the line? So,
well,
you know, this can get out of hand, but we have churches, and churches have bylaws, and they have rules, and so you have to be careful on how you promote what Christ says, because you want to stay biblically. You know, we want to love a person, we want to forgive a person. Do I want that person to influence my children? Absolutely not. So it's up to me to teach my children at home whether something's correct or not.
And do you feel that the churches and you feel being in a pastoral role that the churches are doing that today, that they're properly teaching?
Again, you have a lot of people calling themselves churches, brother, that are not biblical churches. There's a lot of churches out there. If you drive around south and up north and over here in California, you drive around, you'll see churches say Baptist on it. I had the privilege of walking into one of these churches one day and asking them. They approached me about possibly pastoring their church. And I took the deacons aside because the pastor had left. And I asked them, are you familiar with the Baptist distinctives? They didn't even know what they are. If a church doesn't adhere to the Baptist distinctives, they can't call themselves a Baptist. That's not what a Baptist is. So there's a lot of people perpetrating a fraud out there on other people. But ignorance and lack of proper teaching and scholar, and godly men who are standing up for the truth, you see. And when a man does, you stand up for that King James Bible, and now you're a church splitter, you're running a cult, and but you can show them the truth of the Bible.
Okay. But in the same token, though, you're saying we have to obey authority. So when the government comes in and tells us, hey, you're not going to preach this, you're not going to do this, your church is illegal, what are you going to do?
Well, then I'll have to do what what they do in Korea and in other communist nations. They meet in the woods privately. That's what they do.
Maybe you, Peter, but I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of these guys are not going to give up that fancy suit and that nice big...
No, they probably won't, brother. They probably won't. It's the old story where the Russian soldiers go into church and yell that, we're anybody who's not a Christian, get out of here because we're killing all the Christians. And, half the church jumps out the window. They're left with 10 guys standing there, and the Russian soldiers put their guns down and said, we just wanted to make sure we were with true believers.
No,
amen.
I understand.
Yeah, there's a lot of professing Christians. There's a lot of Christians allegedly by name. There's a difference between a Christian and a disciple. A disciple is one who is disciplined to follow the Lord. And you've known me long enough that, I stand for the Word of God. And I'll take that ridicule and I'll take that argument over the New International Version Bibles and those, and I'll sit with a person and show them the difference. I mean, if you can tell me an NIV endorses God when it throws Jesus Christ out of heaven in Isaiah 12:14 or 14:12, then you know what? There's something wrong with you. And recently my daughter-in-law this lady's been trying to persuade her to go to a church. And I told her one morning, I said, well, just tell her, we've been studying in Bible study, and say, tell her you'd like to compare three verses out of her NIV if she could send them to you. See if she could look up Acts 8:37, which tells you must believe with all your heart to get saved, and 1 John 5:7, which talks about the Trinity. And then in Isaiah, where it says the morning star was thrown out of heaven. The King James says Lucifer was. Well, the morning star is Jesus Christ, if you look at Revelations. And you know what the answer was? Well, those two verses of the New Testament don't exist in an NIV, and so there was never any response.
Well, I worry about people within, my personal circle and people, what I see. And they bring up interesting arguments like what I stated earlier. They just live their day-to-day lives, and they believe just being a good person and doing the right thing will get you, you'll be okay, and that's the, I see a lot of that going on today, where people
hey, brother, there's a lot of negativity in the world. I mean, I had an uncle who for 70 years never even had a parking ticket in his life, and if you told him that a police officer or a correctional officer did something against the law, he would be shocked to believe you. He wouldn't even believe you. So, you know what I mean? Don't say that, because he's been a good law-abiding, citizen. But and I agree. I think the problem is education. I think people ought to know what the Bible says. I think that the truth of the matter is that if we can't legislate morals, you can't make laws for morals. Laws are made for the unbeliever to abide by, because he's not going to consciously adhere to the laws of God, because he doesn't have the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. That's very good what you just said there. That's very, very good. And I've never looked at that's something new that I learned, actually, what you just stated there. That's something new. And the laws are written for the people and that have no type of conscience or are not God-fearing people, because we have to keep society in line. I agree.
True. Absolutely. And so, yeah. And so, us Christians, we have a God consciousness. You know, our God consciousness is not to just discern what is right and wrong, but our God consciousness is to discern good from evil. You see?
Well, you know, I get it. Also, you know, all these people, you know, I got to pay my bills on time. I got to do this. That's not right, being a Christian. I remember I got into a big argument with a fellow Christian. He was telling me that, you know, he went to a bank and took out a loan on a car. And he didn't have to. He had to get an automobile and he went to a bank. You and I had this conversation, actually, too.
Yeah.
I don't feel, personally, knowing what I know, what banks do with money and how they make the money, me being a Christian and a God-fearing person, individual, could consciously walk into a bank and create that loan through my signature and live a lie and perpetrate a lie and to participate in hurting people. And that's what banks do with that money that's created out of thin air.
You know, it's like this. Recently, I was talking to a pastor in Delaware, and the topic of the conversation was, do we incorporate a church or do we not? Okay, and so under 1828 of the IRS code, a church is a 501c automatically without filing a single paper. And then you come to a state like California, which requires you to, which won't recognize the 501c alone, but they require you to file either incorporation papers as a nonprofit or be an unincorporated association nonprofit. And so, you know, the question between he and I was, well, you know, what do you do? Comes liability, you see. And people, you know, even in the bylaws that I have drafted for our own church here, the Bible Believers Baptist Church in Imperial Beastie, even the bylaws that I have drafted have an indemnification clause in it, so that if one of our leaders or somebody in the church who is doing something right is charged with a crime, the church can indemnify them and you know, support the defense. I mean, that's how tacky it is out there today. You have people that will walk into a church, and especially you have to watch your Jesuits too. You know, many churches have been destroyed. And so you have to be able to protect yourself. That's the problem with the church today. And so whether to incorporate or not, you know, his answer to me, the bottom line was this. Hey, look, I'm 501c, but I'm not registered with the state of Delaware, and I'm recognized as a 501c. Okay, and he says, and truthfully, I don't even file my for tax exemption. He says, and neither do my parishioners. He said, but I qualify if I want to qualify under it. And he says, and I think every man needs to be persuaded in his own mind, in his own conscience.
Well, you know, I had it out with a pastor. Well, not to interrupt you, but I had it because I know we're running short on time. But I had it out with a pastor about marriage. You know, he was telling me, we'll skip the homosexual thing, but he's telling me that because I live with a woman and we have a relationship, that we have to go down and get a marriage license because otherwise I'm committing a sin. Hang on. I'm not going to obtain a marriage license that says I have to give the firstborn of my my firstborn to the state. You know, people don't. It's just like a warranty deed to a piece of property. You don't own that property. You're actually renting it. A warranty deed does not mean you own it. And I'm not going to go get a marriage license through the state and make a pact with idolatry. With the state.
Well, you have a driver's license, right?
Well, you're right, and it eats me up that I do. You're right.
Yeah, okay. So, again, you know, give the Caesars what Caesars. The law requires it. Sometimes you have to.
But we're not talking about that, though, Peter. We're talking about the pastor telling me it's a sin.
Well, I think what the pastor's telling me is this. Here's what the pastor's telling me, and it's not nothing much more than difference than I preach. I let every man be persuaded in his own heart. If I have to take a stand on it, then I have to go to Romans, and I have to pull out in Romans that tells me to obey the authority, and if the state requires me to have a license. This was the big problem they had in Texas. You know, this homosexuality issue isn't the first time that the state of Texas tried to enforce something upon a church. Lester Roloff fought that for years, trying to license his, and went to jail, you know, trying to license his homes under state licensing instead of the church, and that he had for children, you know, wayward children and adults. And so these battles go on. But the pastor that's talking to you is saying to you that he's probably coming from Romans 10, and he's telling you, look, the marriage, biblical marriage, is one-on-one. male and female. And once the union comes together, that's a marriage. And I agree with that, 100%. But then there's also the side where, you know, do we obey the law or not? And the law requires a license. And so you have some knowledge that other people don't know about what they do with that birth certificate or that license. And, you know, we don't have time to have that discussion at this point. But as a pastor, what I tell my people is, listen, obey the law. And if you require a license to be drive, you require a license to drive. You require a license to be married, get a license to be married. If they tell you you can't get, you know, you can't worship God while you're married, well, then you know what? Get married and worship God.
Okay. And when they tell you to take that Ebola vaccination,
and well, I mean,
really,
that's your choice.
You know, it's, you know, but are we as Christians going to stand up for what's right? You know,
well, I mean, that's, isn't that individual, Joe? Don't we as individuals first? Doesn't it start with the individual you, the individual me?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
But if you're my Christian brother and you're my brother in Christ, and
I'm certainly going to advise you to do what I believe is biblical and what I believe is scriptural. After that, what you do with it, you know, I'm just a pizza delivery boy. I preach some sermons, you know, people want to shoot me for, but it's the word of God. I'm sorry if it offends you. It's the word of God. Get mad at God. I'm just a pizza delivery boy.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm looking at the time here, Joe, and I'm
okay.
Wondering if there was any, there was a lady who called in, Joe, that said that you had asked her to call in, and I didn't know if she was still on the line or not. Nathan, is that lady still listening, or is she still on the line?
Yes, she is.
Would you ask her if she wanted to go live for a minute?
Okay, I'll ask her.
All right. I think this is a friend of yours, Joe.
I don't know.
I don't know. She came in early on. She hit one, and she went right to the host, and Nathan didn't know what to do. He said, Peter, how many people do you have co-hosting? Outside of the producer's purview, right? Well, all the churches listen. Everybody call in. 347-945.
She might have been just listening. She might have been just wanting to listen in. I'm not sure.
Yeah, she just want to listen.
Okay.
All right, brother. Well,
yeah,
we thank you, Nathan, for that.
Y'all had people in there. Y'all had about...
Sorry, amen.
Y'all had a large crowd tonight.
Yes. Amen. That's good. Yeah. That's good. People need to hear these things. Amen. And we always get a large crowd when Brother Joe comes on, very knowledgeable. There's subjects that we can get deeper into. Sometimes we'll just pick that one subject and just tear it apart, you know, because it's true. You know, how much, you know, what do the people know? Well, one thing they should know is that, you know, we love our country, and we've served our country, and my wife and I, and, you know, we know where it all ends anyway, to be honest with you. But that doesn't mean we just throw in the hat. It doesn't mean we throw in the hat. I mean, where we can intervene as Christian men and women, we ought to. Amen?
And that's what I'm trying to, you know, bring across here is, you know, we need to learn more of what's really happening in, you know, around us as Christians. And our churches are really so sick that, you know, they're not really living according to the Word of God, and I believe that's turning off a lot of people from participating.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of people are looking for entertainment, brother. They don't want conviction in the heart. They want to feel good, and they think church is nothing but going and getting a fuzzy feeling and going home. And that's what, you know, they've been taught. They get a fuzzy feeling. They think because a lot of ex-Roman Catholics that I met, you know, felt the church was cold and it didn't have this live spirit. And then they walk into a charismatic church and they find out that it's, you know, all a bunch of emotions. And they think they're having a great time. They're feeling something. Yeah, you're feeling flesh. You know, when you get a spiritual awakening, then you have something. You know, hear the Word of God taught. Hear the Word of God spoken scripture by scripture, verse by verse, when the Holy Spirit opens it up for you. There's a lot of men that went. They weren't sent. And, you know, contrary biblical preaching is not okay. It's wrong.
Yeah.
Amen,
no,
brother?
I agree. You know,
well,
we're
going to have to cut it down. It's 7:04. But I want to thank you, Joe, for this opportunity, and I'd like to give you another shot, maybe in I've got a couple weeks of programs, and then I'm down in Washington, D.C., for a military convention with my wife, and somewhere in between or at right after that, we'll get you back on. You and I will have a conversation before we get together, and we'll grasp one good subject that we can just work our way through. And so
That's good, Peter. And before I go, I just want to, say hello to my grandmother out there in Wallingford, Connecticut, Elizabeth Rondo. She's in bad health, and hopefully if there's any, hopefully we can, pray for her health, and she feels better. And my aunt, who just had surgery in New Haven, Connecticut, very difficult surgery she came through. So, I want to thank the good Lord for that. Her name is Kathy Flatt from Meriden, Connecticut. And, thanks for giving me that opportunity, and hopefully we can say a prayer here and, hopefully they'll feel better.
Hey, amen. God will do something. Hey, amen. We serve a mighty God. I believe in miracles today. There's people that have asked me for prayer. And there's some people I'd like to thank, my wife in particular, who keeps me on point, make sure I'm have the, funny, my wife's a funny Joe. She's very funny. One day I went to do the radio broadcast from home, passed in by the phone, and I had on a pair of shorts and a shirt, and my wife said, "Aren't you going to get dressed?" And I said, "What?" And she said, "Aren't you going to get dressed? You're representing God." And I says, "Oh, yeah, you're right, honey." And I went and put, got cleaned up, put my usual clothes on.
And Peter, I can't forget you met him, my faithful uncle, out in Wisconsin. He's also not in very good health. Michael Gibson, you've met him. You remember Michael.
Yes, I remember. What a wonderful fellow.
Yes, and he's not doing too well with his health. So I want to, hopefully we can.
I met him personally. He's a gentle giant. What a wonderful person. and I'm not just patting you on the back. That was the impression I had. I left. I met his wife and, great people.
Good people.
Great
very people. Good people.
Yeah, down earth, very nice. No putting on the airs there. They are who they are, and they were very nice people. He was a gentle giant. He was just a great guy. And he loves you very much, that much I know. And we want to pray for Sister Joan. And so if you're a prayer warrior and you're out there listening to us, how about it? Join in. Get in on the prayer. Continue to pray. Pray for this program. Pray that the funds stay remaining. We've never asked for funding for this program. We don't ask for funding for the program. This is as the Lord leads. But you have our emails. My email is ventura.peter77@gmail.com. You can always reach out to us there. You can go to Nathan on the Spot. You can call the radio station, hit 1, and when we're on, and feel free to get in. And I just want to thank you all. I want to thank you, Brother Joseph. And we will have that prayer. I want to thank the Lord for what he does for us, because God's opened great opportunity here. And it's a blessing. And you've been a blessing, brother. And Brother Raymond, who encourages me, and Fred and Kitty Lewis. There's just so many people down here at the Bible Believers Baptist Church. Scott and Angelique, and I have a 6-year-old grandson named Aiden. We baptized 5 people in the ocean this weekend. Sherry was baptized, and the children, and then Tuesday night the children came to church, and the little boy, he was 6 years old, he said, he got up in front of the church, he says, "I was scared at first, but when I got into the water, I knew Jesus was holding my hand." Amen. He got in there and got baptized. He says, "And now I'm ready to serve the Lord." Amen. Well, Holy Father, we thank you. We bow down before you, Father God, and we ask you to bless Joseph's grandmother, his aunt, and his uncle, and Lord, that you would touch them with your spirit, Lord, that you would touch them with your healing power from the crown of their heads to the tip of their toes, that you would heal Brother Lewis and Brother Kermit and Sister Joan and that family that just lost their husband down here in a motorcycle accident, Lord, and that you would help us financially, physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, Father God, for we have so many requests, God, and I pray for them all, Father. I ask, God, that you would just reach out and touch us with your hand, and as we walk away from here tonight, we hope, God, that we've glorified your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity. We ask you to bless Joseph and his wife and his son. What a wonderful son you've given him. We thank you, Holy Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brother.
Amen. Thank you. And thank you, Nathan.
Hey, thank you, Nathan. Thank you, listeners. Lord bless you. Tune in next week. some sound doctrine teaching. We're going through basic Bible study, and we're just taking the basic doctrines. We're going back to basic doctrines. Come on in and join us. The third week of every month, we have Ladies' Night, Wonderful Christian Women Night.
Sometimes I wonder in my mind.